the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hi, and welcome to the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast. My name's Dan Latto. So this podcast refers to a conversation I was just having last week, actually, with someone I used to know quite some time ago. And they've got a business, and in this business, they're doing about £900,000 a year. And obviously, they're really, really focused on doing £1 million of turnover. And it's almost like this concept of, if I can get to £1 million, then that will mean I'm successful. Now, I just need to clarify, If you're doing £1 million of turnover, okay, you are not a millionaire, okay? And just as for those people who have got £1 million of property, you're not a millionaire, okay? Because, on the property, if you've got £1 million, but you've got, mortgage debt of £900,000, then you've made £100,000 as of, this second, right? But as we know, property prices can go up and go down. So your wealth will change up and down depending on what's going on in the world, okay? But on a business, if you're doing £1 million of turnover, but your expenses are 900,000, again, you're only doing 100 grand. That's what your business is worth. If you were to sell your business, what you get for it, you probably get £1 million, but you have to sell it. Depends on what the multiple of a business is. So and different businesses have different multiples. So, a business that's doing £1 million with 900,000 turnover, making £100,000 a year, that might have a multiple of 10. And which basically means, it's a rule of thumb, which basically means that if you're going to sell that business, you'll get 10 times what its profit is. And that's how you value stuff. But also bear in mind that let's say that you're doing 100,000 and it's got a multiple of 10. You're still not a millionaire. That might be what you could sell your business for, but you haven't sold your business. Okay? You haven't sold the business, so it's not worth that. It's worth £100,000 a year. That's what it's worth. If you want to become a millionaire in order to get that millionaire stripe on your arm, you need to sell it and make £1 million. But frankly, it's all bollocks. No one cares. The only people who care about this stuff is you. We've got more than £1 million of equity in all our properties, okay? And so technically, we are property millionaires, okay? But, that's not what pays our lifestyle. What pays our lifestyle is the cash flow from that property. And cash flow derives, so let's say we're getting 10% yield on a couple of million quid, and let's just chuck some with a random number. Let's say we got 10% revenues on £3 million, so that's £300,000 a year. And our mortgage debt is £2 million, so we've got £1 million. And the mortgages are, say, 5% a year, okay? So we're making 5%, we're making 5% profits across the board, but actually we're making 10% on the 3 million, and we're only paying 5% on the 2 million, so it's actually more than 5%. Does that make sense? So, but it's still bollocks, right? None of this actually matters. It's all completely irrelevant. The only thing that's relevant is, what is it going to do for you? That's it. That's the bottom line. That is the only thing that's relevant. Oh, well, Dan, I've got £10 million of property. Great. How much equity you got? None. I've got £10 million of debt. Okay. How's life doing for you right now? No, not great. I can't pay my bills. That's crazy. Why are you focusing on having as much property or generating as much revenues, turnover, as you possibly can? That's not the bit that's important. The bit that's important is, how much money do you make each month, how much are your costs each month, and how much have you got left each month? That's it. That is the difference. So if you're doing 20 grand a month and your costs are, say, £12,000 a month, you're making £8,000 a month. Now, also bear in mind that if your living expenses are £9,000 a month, you're still in the shit. You've still got a problem. But if your living expenses and you're making £8,000 profit from your property, let's say, every month, and your living expenses are £4,000 every month, great, you've got £4,000 left every month to play with. You can go buy, if you save up for 10 months, you can buy yourself a nice Porsche 911. Not a completely new one, but a couple of years old. That'd be nice. Or if you want a jet ski tomorrow and you've got $4,000 in your account, or you just have to wait till next month to have the $4,000 and you go buy a jet ski. Or if you want to pay for a nice holiday, then you can do that. That's the bit that's important. Not the £1 million of turnover. Not the £1 million of property. But what are you going to do? What does that turnover get you? What does that property get you? And it gets you a monthly income, or it should be getting you a monthly income, because we're monthly beings. We live month to month. So during this conversation, of actually cutting back. He's got lots of cars. His petrol was like in the tens of thousands of pounds every year. And he said to me, it feels like he's working just to pay staff. And I'll tell you, folks, I've been there. I felt exactly the same. When I had the lettings agency, I felt like that sometimes as well. And then we downsized, we got rid of some staff. And that's exactly what you've got to do. Because there's this bit that stops you, there's this ethical dilemma of, do we let staff go? They've got their own kids to feed. But then I'm having to take loans out in order to make the business run. But it's obvious to me. So the best way of helping a poor is by not being one in the first place. You taking out loans and getting into debt, bad debt as well, missing payments, that's not going to help you. You've got to clear out, get back to being profitability. Then if you want to go and help people, then you can do that every so often. But also bear in mind, if you need to let someone go, you might be actually holding them back in their lives. And actually they might be better off suited going and working somewhere else so that they've got a better opportunity to grow. But the fact that you're keeping them, holding them back by giving them a steady salary, that might not be helping them in the first place anyway. It might be, it might not be. And even if it is, you can't base your entire life decisions based on that. Because what happens in 30 years, you've got a staff of 100 and you are their bitch. And that's not how it should be. This is your business. So you've got to move the business back to profitability. And some of this is about vanity, is about looking good, looking wealthy. And, you know, I still buy crappy t-shirts from Primark, because for gym t-shirts, I don't need to look like The Rock at the gym with his Under Armour sponsorship deal. I don't need to look like that. It's a local gym in Spain. No one gives a shit. Nobody cares if I'm wearing a 25 quid from Next t-shirt, I'm wearing a £3 t-shirt from Primarni. No one cares. The only people that care are me and the selfies that I might or might not take at the gym and then think, oh no, I'm wearing a Primark t-shirt. No one cares. It's crazy. It's a crazy world. I see people. The best example of this, and you might agree, you might disagree. That's fine. Drop me a line, let me know. So in Leeds, we've got Harvey Nichols. And I find it really funny because the people in Harvey Nichols, everybody's very beautiful. Even the men are beautiful. And all the girls are really heavily made up. They're wearing the latest clothing. You know, a t-shirt in Harvey Nichols is 120 quid. And I don't shop in Harvey Nichols because I refuse to pay those prices because I'm still a tight-ass northerner, quite frankly. Maybe one day I might buy something nice, but very rare does that happen. But these are in 120 quid t-shirts or tops or whatever. And the guys who work there too. And all right, they get a discount, what, 30%, 40% maybe? Let's call it 50%. They're still buying a t-shirt for 60 quid. How much money do you think people earn at Harvey Nichols? And I tell you, I just pressed pause and I've just had a quick look because I was really interested in knowing. So I typed Harvey Nichols job salary. A sales consultant makes, are you ready for this? £7.58 an hour. Is that minimum wage? £7.50 is minimum wage, isn't it? A sales advisor is £7.50. A sales assistant is £8.08. A sales consultant is £17,800 a year. I don't know what a sales consultant is. But basically, they're on minimum wage. Now, this information comes from Glassdoor. You can probably get a lot of salaries from Glassdoor. And that's where that comes from. Let's just have a look at something else. Because on here as well, Indeed.co.uk has some idea of salaries. So yeah, sales consultant is between 15,657. 15 grand a year. Not a lot of money, that, is it? So we divide that by, let's see how much that is a week. So what is it? 17,000 divided by 52 weeks is £326 a week, minus a third, 33% because of tax and national insurance. Brings them out with £219 divided by 40. It's £5.47 an hour after tax. So those numbers actually are about right. But here they are working in that shop, and certainly there's a prestige thing about working in that shop, something to impress the friends, the young, impress the mum and dad and so on, okay? But the prestige doesn't pay your bills. Your prestige won't get you a gap year after uni, or in uni. It won't get you a car to actually get to and from work, you know? So I'm just reading, it does actually include an Oyster card at Harvey Nichols. That's wonderful if you live in London. I'm sure they've got other things for people outside of London too. But the point here that I'm trying to make is that, you know, I know you've heard this before. If you've ever watched Apprentice, The Apprentice, a diabolical programme which makes idiots think that they know business. And then after being on Apprentice, they might win Apprentice, and that automatically qualifies them for, well, I won Apprentice, and therefore I know how to run a business. Are you kidding me? You just meant that you got to the top of the other idiots. That's in a programme. Anyway, let's not go down that path. So, the saying is, vanity is, what is it? Turnover is vanity, profit is sanity. I'm sure you've heard any, just rewatch An Apprentice, it'll be in there, right? Talk about revenues. And we know this, and yet we still have this idea of, if I just get to that £1 million, then I'll have made it. And it's like, life doesn't work like that. If I just become a millionaire, then, oh, fabulous. But then you wake up the next morning and you find there's a housing crash and you're no longer a millionaire. So the millionaire part is actually really unimportant. I hope you got that, because that's probably the most important bit of this podcast, 11 minutes, 13 seconds in. That's the most important part, is that you wake up the next day and your main purchaser of your product in your business, they've gone bust, owing you a lot of money, £100,000. So you're not getting that money. And for the 20% income that they gave you each year, or 10% income they give you each year, that's now gone. Suddenly you're at risk because you can't afford to pay all your staff and you've lost a large proportion of your business. That's not what it's about, folks. What it's about is you generating cash each and every month that can go into a separate account that can then get invested, that then gives you yet more cash each month. And eventually, because you've diversified, you have more cash coming in off stocks and shares. So if your property goes wrong, then it's fine. You can still make a living. And you've got more money coming in off property. But if your stocks and shares goes wrong, you've still got enough money. And that if your business goes down the pan, your property's still paying. And if your business is going well and your shares are going well and your property's going well, great. You've got some money left to spend on to cryptocurrency, which is like gambling rather than investing. Or you can invest in some startups. You can follow Gary Vaynerchuk's investment strategies, which you can find online, by the way, if you wanted to do that. Shall I find that for you? So I've just had a look for you. It's crunchbase.com. If you have a look on there, Gary Vaynerchuk's invested in 53 companies. He's got 54 investments in 53 companies. And it actually tells you, I think, which companies he's invested in. And you can follow what Gary does. But that's when you've got some spare cash, right? Yeah, here we go. Personal investments, mostly. He's put in a lot of money by the looks of it. Millions and millions of pounds. I don't know if that's his personal investment or if that's actually what the company needed to get investment. I've got a feeling that's what the company needed to get investment. Yeah, it is. So you don't get to find out how much Gary's put in, but you get to see the businesses he's invested in. So there's lots of multiple different ways of investing. You know, there's like, and if you've not got this, you need to be investing in the stock market, in the FTSE 100, in the New York Stock Exchange, in the Nikkei, the Japanese one. And so you're spreading your money around. Like a company like Vanguard will help you do that, and it'll help you then rebalance. So if the New York Stock Exchange goes up 50% and the London Stock Exchange only goes up, say, 10%, it'll move money from the one that's gone up into the other one. Or if you've got a high risk, a medium risk and a low risk, and the high risk does really well, it'll move some of the high risk money down into a medium or a low risk, so your risk levels are still spread. This is one of the keys to successful investment over a 20-year period, is the rebalancing, by the way. If you've not done that, then you need to go get yourself a book, Unshakable by Tony Robbins, which is a great Audible book. Obviously, listen to all my podcasts first before you listen to that schmuck, because what does Tony Robbins know? Quite a bit, actually. But definitely go get those books. He's got Unshakable and he's got Money. And I listen to both of those on Audible in the car as I drive a lot. But look, this is down to you to understand that your profit is far more important than your turnover. I would rather you double your turnover and cut your profit. Let's rephrase that. I would rather you double your profit and cut your turnover in half. That's how important it is. More turnover does not mean that you make more money. I know if you're making 3% of 100,000, that's less than making 3% of 1,000,000. But it tends not to work like that, because you've got to reach this point where, and it's like this divulging point where you make less returns up to a certain amount of money. It's different depending which business you're in, but you know, you might be making 10% at 100 grand, 5% at 500 grand, and just 3% at £1,000,000. Okay? So, and 3% is only 30,000, by the way. And 10% is 100, it's still more, isn't it, actually? So it's probably not a good example. But then after you hit that, say, £1,000,000 mark, or 2 million, or 1.5, or 15, or 300,000, whatever it happens to be, at that point you reach economies of scale, and that's when you start to increase your profits. But to make that jump and get through that, it's like a boundary condition, that's really difficult to do. Those numbers you use probably were not good numbers to use, because it's more like you make, 3% at 100, 2%, anyway, forget about it. So, but you get the point I'm trying to make there. Now, some people don't want to push through that because it's quite difficult to do. I'm not saying that you don't do it, but what I am saying is that you make your business more profitable, because if you're working 40, 50, 60 hours, you're working too much, in my opinion. What you want to be doing is making that money, pulling that money out, paying down your credit cards, paying down your debts. That's rule number one. And then moving that money into investments. Getting rid of all your debt, cutting all your costs, and moving that money into investments that then give you more money. That's the only reason your business exists. That, and eventually when you're going to sell your business, then it moves into long-term profit that generates income when you're not having to work, when you don't have to turn up to your business. And most people seem to get that wrong. And they stay in this business working 40, 50, 60, 70, 80-hour weeks in order to get that £1,000,000. They go home and find the wife's left them, the dinner's in the dog, the kids don't know who they are anymore, and their staff treat them like shit. That's no way to live. Absolutely no way to live. And trust me on this, I've been there. I've totally been there. For my reasons were slightly different. I stayed in a business because I didn't want to go home back in the day, 10 years ago. So this is the key, folks. Take a look at your turnover. Cut your costs. Have a look. Those vans that you've got, those cars that you're paying £200 and you've got five of them, like, do you actually need all that? And a pool car, do you need that? And the spare computers and the spare this and the... There's a lot of stuff in your business right now that you probably don't need. Okay, I think that'll do us for this one. I hope that's useful for you, and I hope that just brings you into understanding and makes you actually look at those numbers. Just to finish off, actually, my old business in the lettings agency that I used to own and the furniture package company, we used to get monthly management accounts. And the monthly management accounts would be a good indicator as to where our profit and loss was and where our cost base was. And I was... especially just before we sold it, because we wanted to up the profits it was making, we went through it with a fine toothpick because we wanted to get rid of all the costs that we didn't need. There was costs in there. If I'd have done that 5 years earlier, that business would have made like double the profit that it made. It's crazy, really. But that was just the way it worked. All right. I hope that's useful for you. That's it for this one. We'll speak to you on the next one. Take care.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.